This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
All right, ready to roll for the third round of the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Memphis. We will also update you on the Danish Golf Championship, which is near the conclusion of the third round there at Great Northern in Denmark. And we'll also cover the U.S. Amateur in today's show with the semifinals going down a little bit later on. Let's see, first match, Carter Laughlin versus Jack Whaley at 1 p.m. Central. And then Jay Lang Jr. will face off against Logan Riley at 1:15 Central. We'll give you the stories behind that in the third segment. Jack Whaley, an Englishman who was playing NAIA golf no less than 15 months ago, I believe has now taken his talents to Florida State, but we'll get into that story. Starting with Memphis, starting with the PGA Tour in this first playoff event, this thing could be already over. Scottie Scheffler, world number one, leads by three after shooting 61 on Friday. 11 birdies, two bogeys. 61 with two bogeys. That is unbelievable. He came out very strong with five birdies in a row to begin the front nine after a bit of a slow two-under Thursday start. Yesterday was hot right off the get-go, five birdies in a row to begin the front nine, made the turn in 30 and ended up tying the course record, gets it to 11 under with a three-shot lead heading into the weekend. I don't see who could potentially catch him. I think the players I really think it comes down to, as far as chasers, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, who's at 6 under, 5 back, and I still think I did not like the fact that Hideki ended his round yesterday with a bogey on 17, and then a missed 5-footer for birdie on 18, would have got him to 5 under. I would have liked Hideki to have been at 5 or 6 heading into the weekend, especially because of the fact that this is not Alex Smalley that Hideki has to go out there and chase. He is 8 shots back of world number one Scottie Scheffler. So his chances, Hideki, who I went all in on this week, not great heading into the weekend, 9 back. My apologies. We'll get into Hideki later on, what needs to go right for him. Sung J.M., 3 back, kind of Scheffler's nearest competitor. Sungjae and Victor, both at 8 under, but Sungjae, one of the better putters in the field, 66-66 to start, 18-1 heading into the weekend. You know, if he could find a positive iron week, I may have a little bit of confidence that he could keep up with Scheffler. Sungjae has not had a positive iron week in, 2 months. One of the best putters in the world, but can get loose off the tee and out of the fairway. He's not winning this tournament. Victor Hovland's a dangerous cat at 8 under, 3 back. 3 back. Victor just won at Jack's place in the last month. Has been playing well. Says he's struggling with a bit of a high right miss off the tee, but he has played well through two rounds. I like Tommy Fleetwood and Nico Echeverria there, 5 back. You know, Tommy's played very well coming off the runner up at the Open. Nico Echeverria, a PGA Tour winner this year, won in Palm Beach by way of Shane Lowry completely choking all over himself. Nico's been playing strong, fresh off the top 15 at Wyndham last week, and he's going to be part of that strong International President's Cup team. Jordan Spieth, Brian Harman, 6 back of the lead. Hideki, 9 back. Scottie Scheffler has this thing in the bag. We could sit here and manufacture, you know, 6 or 7 stories, 6 or 7 guys who could potentially catch him. I mean, Fleetwood will stay up there playing very consistent golf. Ludvig Åberg, who is at 7 under. 4 back. You know, he's had a solid year, but no big weekend success has failed to close golf tournaments here. There, the Players, a couple others, Bay Hill. Yeah, Fleetwood. If Fleetwood brings out his best over the next 36, I believe he is playing good enough to push Scotty a bit. Jordan Spieth has not been consistent enough. Brian Harman has not been consistent enough. There's some fun players in the top 10. Sudarshan Yelamiraju, 70-65 opener at 5-under, 6 back. Hopefully a top 10 earns his spot into the BMW next week, where only the top 50 will continue. We'll break down the FedEx Cup standings a little bit later on. I thought Sam Burns, who is at 3-under, 8 back, I thought he would have a little more pop and sizzle yesterday in his second round. He opened 67. And when you look at Burns' opening round on Thursday, you know, 4 birdies, 1 bogey that came on the 18th. Yesterday was slow. Had the double on the front 9, doubled the third. Was able to recover nicely with 3 birdies on the back, but bogeyed 18 once again. I don't think there's anyone on this leaderboard who can catch Scottie Scheffler. Led the field in approach. Scottie, this is not just a putting festival. He gained almost 3.5 shots in the field with his iron play, and he's also leading the field in putting. He is doing everything amazing. I don't know what the field is supposed to do with that. Scheffler has now shot 61 or better 4 times on the PGA Tour. He shot 59 at TPC Boston in 2020. He shot a 60 at the Travelers earlier this year. He shot 61 when he won the Byron Nelson last year, and now has a 61 at Southwind. You know, I think I'd have to go look at this, and I'll take a look over break. I think Scotty does have another sub-62 round at this course in Memphis over the years. I'll have to go check on that over the break. You know, Scheffler, he's held or shared the 36-hole lead 21 times in his career. He's won 9 of them. So here's the difference, is when that lead gets to 3, like it's at now, when his lead is 3 or more after 36 holes, he's won every time. 2022 Masters, won. 2024 Jack's Place, won. And then 2025 in Dallas last year, he had a 3-shot lead at the halfway point and won. He's on a roll. You know, even though when you hear someone say that 2026 has been down so far for Scotty, that should let you know that the person speaking doesn't know anything about golf. Around the win at Amex, Scotty has 5 runner-up finishes on the season. He has played very solid. Is it more than 5? Let me check on this. I'm checking on Scheffler's top 5s this season. All right, let's start at the beginning. He wins Amex. Third place in Phoenix. Fourth place at Pebble. So if we're counting wins, that's 3 top 5s off the get-go. He had a top 5 at the Masters, finished runner-up there. Top 5 the next week at the Heritage, that's 5. Top 5 at Doral, that's 6. Top 5 at the Byron, that's 7. Top 5 at the U.S. Open, that's 8. Top 5 at Travelers, that's 9. Top 5 at the Open, that's 10. Top 5 in his last start at the 3M. Scotty Scheffler, got to correct myself, has 11 top 5s in 17 starts this year. So no one else on tour has had more than 7. Scotty's been there in contention every week, and unfortunately, you know, another player here or there has just been able to beat him by a shot or two. That is golf. This week, Scheffler, he's padding that lead a little bit more. You could tell when he started off things yesterday with five consecutive birdies. Here was Scheffler on the dream start.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you always want to try to get off to a good start, and, you know, I was able to do that today, and, I mean, really just a dream start. Probably one of the best starts I've had on tour, to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you a time where I've been lower early in the round. Yeah, just good start and was able to continue to strike the ball and execute. And like yesterday was a day in which I felt like I played better than my score, but also early in the round I was out of the fairway a lot, so it could have been a day in which my score could have definitely been worse and it definitely could have been a lot better. But today was a day in which I felt like I got a lot out of the round.
I'll tell you the other thing about Scheffler that really – what is similar this week to his only other win this year at Amex is – St. Jude is a place where he should have a win over the years. He has, in both of his last two starts in Memphis, 2024, he finishes fourth. And then last year, he finishes tied third. Finished one shot behind the Rose Spahn playoff. But he has had his chances here. And so is Tommy Fleetwood. And Fleetwood's five back after consecutive 66s to open the week. You know, Tommy, and I talked about this Tuesday, this is where, when you look at this point in the year last year, in 2025, this is where the is Tommy going to win a PGA Tour event conversation? This is where it really heated up. You look at last year, Tommy opened 63-64 at Southwind. And he did the same thing at the BMW the next week until he finally won the Tour Championship to end last season. But we know Fleetwood can put himself in position in Memphis. You know, does he need to go out there and match Scotty's 61? I don't think so. I think a 64, 65 would put him in plenty good enough position. You know, he ideally, Tommy gets off to a hot start today, right before Scheffler, maybe gets to two or three under through four holes and gets Scotty's attention somehow. Fleetwood 20-1 heading into the weekend. Here he was on the challenge of chasing world number one.
You know, I mean, it's so cliche to say you can't do anything about it, isn't it? And it's kind of a boring answer, but, you know, what can we do about Scottie Scheffler? It's like, you know, go out there and try and just manage your game as best as possible, shoot the best score you can, and see what happens. But I think in general, in the world of golf, I think Scottie is a great person to chase, whether it's a tournament this week or whether it's, you know, he's the best golfer in the world and you can all look up to him and try and chase him. So just happens to be up there again, and we'll see what we can do over the weekend.
Yeah, it should be a great finish. I mean, you do have the name. It could be a Scotty runaway, but the other names atop this leaderboard, Victor, Ludvig Åberg. I found the game of Nico Echeverria very exciting as we approach the President's Cup. And then, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, major winners like Jordan Spieth and Brian Harman. It is going to be entertaining golf watching this weekend. It's just as far as the winner and who's going to come away with this thing. I'm having a tough time believing anyone's going to challenge Scotty this week, and I hope I'm wrong. Hope we get a nice show at the top. On the other side, we will hear more from Fleetwood. We'll hear from Ludvig Åberg. We'll hear from Victor Hovland. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor on ESPN Houston. Let me take a quick second to tell you about what we have going on over at the Spirit International Golf Championship. The Spirit takes place November 9th through the 14th at the number one ranked golf course in Texas, Whispering Pines Golf Club in Trinity. The Spirit brings together the best amateur men and women from the 20 best countries in a 54-hole Olympic-style competition featuring both team and individual gold medals. And if you follow professional golf, you already know the legacy. Look at the top of the leaderboard on any PGA Tour or LPGA Tour event, and you'll find out the legacy. Past Spirit competitors include Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, Jordan Spieth, Rose Zhang, Lexi Thompson, Lorena Ochoa, Stacey Lewis. They were all competing at the Spirit before they became major champions and global stars. Come out and join us. Opening ceremonies begin November 10th with tournament rounds running Thursday through Saturday. Closing ceremonies taking place on November 14th. And it's way bigger than golf. Hosted by the Spirit Golf Association, this championship supports critical charitable initiatives in healthcare, education, and food programs with more than $13 million contributed to date. It's the 2026 Spirit International, bringing the world's best young players to Texas and putting Houston at the center of global amateur golf. Learn more at www.thespiritgolf.org, www.thespiritgolf.org.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Yeah, temperatures in Memphis, I mean, just as brutal as here in Houston. Saturday in Memphis, going to reach around 100, heat index up to about 110. We've heard some players talk about it. It is a headline that repeats itself year after year in Memphis. You know, as far as players from Texas, Scottie Scheffler, obviously myself growing up in Texas, you know, we're all used to this type of heat. And, you know, growing up, Scottie was wearing pants every day in the summers of Dallas at Royal Oak. So, you know, he's not worried about any heat. And he's going to use the temperature as an advantage. And, you know, he's not going to sit there after his rounds and complain about it. There's some players out there struggling with it. It's actually quite embarrassing for the sport. You know, I went after Stephen A. a couple months ago for saying that golfers aren't athletes. And then, I mean, the temperatures get over 100 degrees and you have some of these players saying they're getting a little lightheaded. I mean, AJ, NFL training camp going on outside right now. I don't see anyone else getting overheated out there.
Nah.
And in Memphis, I mean, let's listen in to Chris Goddard up here. Goddard up's at 4 under par right now, 66-70. He was having trouble, you know, staying on his feet at the end of his first round. Listen in.
Honestly, for me, it's hard. One, just staying as hydrated as possible, getting the right, you know, salt, electrolytes, all that. It's hard to keep up. Also, just my hands get really sweaty, so that's part of the deal too. Just trying to make sure I'm ready to go, getting ready for every shot. But and mentally, honestly, today wasn't too bad. It felt like, I'm sure it'll be hot when it's, you know, 3 o'clock. But yesterday, finishing up, it was hard to keep your head in it. You're kind of a little lightheaded. Your body starts to kind of fatigue a little bit. But it's tough. Everyone's going through it, so it's not like you're getting the short end of the stick. It's hot from 8 a.m. till whenever, all day, every day.
You know, I saw Robert McIntyre this week pretty much just pack it all in because of the temperatures. You look at Robert McIntyre's first round scorecard, and some players, I mean, I know Michael Thorbjornsson was a little under the weather in round one, but pretty much everyone who's struggling this week just simply hates the heat. I mean, Rory McIlroy's 5 over par after opening round 74-70. He's trying to get in and out of there as quick as possible. Robert McIntyre shot 82 on Thursday. 82 at TPC Southwind. You look at this scorecard. Had a double on 4, triple on 6, double on 15, double on 18. I mean, there's some players out there this week who they need to change their training regimen. We, once again, in Texas, you know, growing up playing tournaments in the late spring and summer, you're used to this kind of thing. I mean, my U.S. four-ball qualifier in Louisiana, I don't know. I got to ask my buddy Lee Sanudo, who I was playing with, great buddy of mine. It had to have been 115 degrees out there. There's no caddies. We're carrying our bags. These guys, with all due respect, especially Bobby McIntyre coming off like a 2 or 3 week rest on fresh legs. Let's see when Goddard played Detroit or 3M. Goddard has played a total of 2 tournament rounds between the Open Championship a month ago. He's played 2 rounds. He played the first 2 rounds in Detroit, missed the cut. He's tired. I mean, you know what? This is the reason why when I did that Stephen A. kind of the response to Stephen A. and him saying that golfers aren't athletes. You know, I texted like 3 or 4 players. Hey, you want to back me up here? No. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. Because then you get a player like Goddard or McIntyre, and the conversation ends there. And Sepp Straka, for instance. Yes, there are athletes in golf. You look at the last 3 weeks, we've had winners under 27 years old. Michael Brennan, Michael Thorbjornsson, Jackson Koivun, all 3 of those guys athletes, but not everyone in the sport is an athlete yet, unfortunately. We'll check back on that one probably in 15 years. Tommy Fleetwood, I thought he gave some interesting insight on the difference in greens at Southwind between the waves. He rolled it a little better in his opening round, 66, what a phenomenal start that was, where Tommy birdied 1 and eagled 3, birdied 4. Here was Fleetwood on the greens getting a little more challenging in the afternoon at Southwind.
Yeah, I think the greens, see when the green later in the day, the more grain plays on the greens, I think I definitely found them trickier to read this afternoon than they were yesterday morning, for instance. But still a beautiful surface. You just got to get the line right and then hit it. So I'll do a little bit of practice on that later. But generally, ball goes a long way in the afternoon, gets hot. But golf course is right there in front of you, and like the demands are always the same.
Yeah, I expect Tommy to no problem top 5. Could he make a run? I think he's playing well enough to do so, but the safe prediction is that Tommy's going to stay in the top 5 the rest of the week. Just going to play solid golf. Victor Hovland, I'm a little more curious with Victor because he is someone who can kind of just, what we call in golf, he can clear the mind and go out there and shoot 60, no problem. He doesn't really have breaks in his mental game, which is why sometimes there can be so much variance between his good golf and his bad golf. But Victor is very good at just letting it go. So in the sense of having to unload everything in the tank and fire everything you have at Scotty, Victor is a player that is capable of doing so. You know, I think his game, his style of play, it's a little more aggressive than someone like Tommy Ludvig is probably as aggressive as it gets, going at pins, doesn't have much of a feel of Ludvig Åberg does not have much of a feel of course awareness, and what I mean by that is Ludvig does not always make the best of decisions on the golf course compared to someone like Scotty or Tommy. Victor, he scares me because, we saw him win, and I said at Jack's place, and my apologies for that, JT Poston was the winner at the Memorial this year. Victor won at Memorial 2, was it? When did Victor win the Memorial? Victor won the Memorial in 2023, 3 years ago. Victor's win this year came at the Travelers Championship in late June. And over his last four starts, has a top five in Canada, has the win at the Travelers, top 20 at the Scottish. Just did not have the... Victor didn't have the year at the majors that he wanted to. His lone top 20 in a major came at the Masters, and in the following three majors after that, miscut at the PGA, miscut at the U.S. Open, miscut at the British. So missed the cut in the last three majors of the year. He wants some vengeance in playoff time, and it's coming at a great place in Memphis, where he finished runner-up in 2024. Here was Hovland after his second round 64.
Yeah, it was really nice, really solid. Hit a lot of fairways, and I think that's a big deal for my game, but also especially at this golf course. I think it's really difficult to score if you're missing fairways, so I did a good job of that, put myself in position, and didn't hit my iron shot super close, but I always hit the green, and I made a couple of nice putts, and then, yeah, just felt really solid throughout the day.
You know, probably, Victor, probably one of the biggest tinkers of his swing on the PGA Tour. I never know who he's working with between Joe Mayo and Grant Waite, and it seems like Hovland keeps a lot of people on his team at a time to get their advice on what he's working on. You know, he came in here 23rd on the FedEx Cup standing, so he's in good position to get to Eastlake, especially with the way he's playing this week. He's going to make a major move as far as the FedEx Cup standings. Let's see if we can get a projection there. Yeah, Victor's projected to go from 23 on FedEx to 12. And this is big for, you know, this is something we haven't touched on. You know, Sungjae, who is in a tie for second, this is a big weekend for him because he is playing to get into next week. He started this week 53rd on FedEx and projected in a tie for second, projected at 36 right now. But anyone who's outside that top 50 to start this week, who is in contention, Sungjae, who started this week 53rd, Jordan Spieth started this week at 54. In a tie for fifth right now, he's projected to move in to 44th. The only players who will be moving on to Bellerive and St. Louis next week will be those who are inside the top 50. Shooter Sean Yilamiraju in a tie for ninth in Memphis right now. If he were to stay there, that would move him from 57th to 49th. We'll get into more of these scenarios. Here was Hovland. Back to Hovland. Here was Hovland, tied for second, 8-under. One of Scotty's nearest and most dangerous competitors going into the weekend. Here was Hovland on the feeling of his swing at the moment.
Yeah, I had two nice par saves. I hit actually two good shots on number 8 and number 12 that were right at the pin, but somehow they went too far and just went over the green, but two really nice up and downs there, kind of kept the momentum going. Then other than that, it was pretty solid tee to green.
Yeah, so that was Hovland on some of the key up and downs yesterday that really moved his round forward. You know, on the eighth hole, he got in a very tricky situation, went over the green to the back pin, and had a very class up and down. 12 was really the same way. 12, Victor flew the green from 103 yards out. Not an ideal situation. Was sitting at 3-under at this point in his round yesterday and hit a wonderful chip shot from about 27 feet off the green. Hit it in there to about 3 feet and tapped in. 12 was a key up and down because then Victor turns around and birdies 13, 15, and 16 to finish off the bogey-free 64. You know, Hovland says that he is dealing with a bit of a right miss right now. That did not come out yesterday, but here were more of his words on that.
It's trending, for sure. You know, I've been really battling a high right miss shot, and at least that's not
Like, I'm not seeing any of those shots. I'm still over-curving the ball a little bit to the right, so I feel like I'm having to fight that a little bit. But it's been working out so far, so hopefully just keep that going over the weekend.
I will get more into the Memphis leaderboard. We'll review the card here and what needs to happen over the weekend, both with Memphis and with Denmark. We'll take a look at the Korn Ferry Tour leaderboard, see if there's any Texas headlines we need to get to. But right now, let's send somebody to the biggest listener party of the year. The ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party is happening Friday, August 28th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at St. Arnold Beer Hall. We'll have food, drinks, giveaways, and your favorite ESPN 97.5 personalities, including the great John Granato, Lance Zierlein, Del Olale, Jeremy Branham, Joe George, and more. You must be 21 or older to attend, and you cannot buy these tickets. These tickets are not available for purchase. You have to win your way in. So let's do it right now. Caller number 3 at 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets. That's two tickets to the 2026 ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party on Friday, August 28th. Once again, caller number 3 will win two tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party. That is 713-780-3776, Friday, August 28th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. Good luck. We'll see you at St. Arnold.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard. Scottie Scheffler leads the way in Memphis at the Danish Antoine Rosner. Up by one on fellow Frenchman Romain Langasquet. Rosner leads by one at 13 under. Langasquet in solo second at 12 under, and that third round should be currently going on Golf Channel right now. I have the Memphis ESPN Plus coverage up, but the Danish, the end of that third round, it is on Golf Channel right now. Some interesting names. You have an American and Caleb Surratt there at 11 under, three shots back. Rasmus Højgaard there at 9 under, five shots back. How about Cameron Adam? He's a young Scot out of Northwestern, shot a 63 to set the course record at Great Northern on Friday. And, we talked about the spirit at the end of segment one. Cameron Adam was representing Scotland in the last spirit in 2024. Great individual. Cameron Adam, I don't say this about a lot of players. This is someone you really want to be rooting for. Great head on shoulders, a sharp individual. And I think he's going to do a lot in the world of golf. This is a crunchy time for him in the season because he's 125th on the DP World Tour money list. And as a rookie, he really does not have that many more opportunities left to maintain his DP World card for next year. So he's going to have to turn it on. I'm hoping that he gets into tournaments like the Scottish Golf Championship and the back end of the DP World Tour schedule, where there's going to be more links golf and more courses that suit his game. So we'll keep an eye on Denmark. I really want to talk about the U.S. Amateur, though. Really probably the best tournament going on this weekend at Marion in Philly. Started the week with 312 players, and we are now down to four heading into the weekend. And there's some great stories here. Obviously, I'm bummed out that superstars like Miles Russell and Preston Stout and Ryder Cowan, obviously bummed these guys didn't make a bigger run, but that's match play for you. Anything can happen. You look at the matches today. Carter Laughlin will go up against Jack Whaley at 1 p.m. Central. Jay Lang Jr. will go up against Logan Riley at 1:20 Central. Peacock will pick up this coverage at 2 p.m., and then it'll be on NBC cable from 3 to 5 p.m. The quarterfinals, the last round was a couple beatdowns. Jack Whaley beat Adam Bresnu 5-4. Jay Lang beat Jack Turner 6-5. Laughlin beat Brandon Knight 3-2. I mean, I don't think any of these matches even got to the best hole in the golf course, which is 18. In that last match, Logan Riley beat the last local in the field, Michael Lugiano, beat him 6-4. So, wow. Yeah, the four quarterfinals matches yesterday only lasted a total of 54 holes combined. That is the fewest quarterfinal holes at the U.S. Amateur since 2002. Did they even get to 16, any of these matches? I don't think so. The four quarterfinal matches, only 54 holes combined. That's pretty good. I would say that Jack Whaley is the guy that you want to be rooting for heading into the weekend, the Englishman. And I'll tell you why. It's the best story out of all of them, out of all four of these players. He's a 21-year-old from England. Get this. Check this out. Jack Whaley was playing NAIA golf at Dalton State 15 months ago, now has an opportunity to win the U.S. Amateur, punch himself a ticket to the Masters Tournament, the U.S. Open, the British Open. He won the NAIA individual title and Jack Nicklaus Award. The Jack Award goes to the best Division I player, Division II player, Division III player, and NAIA player. So this juices me up as a former NAI player myself, up the road in Fort Worth at Texas Wesleyan, where we won a team national championship in 2019. Now, you can color me obsessed with Jack Whaley heading into the weekend. Now, after the record year at Dalton State last year, he did transfer to Florida State. So he is now competing as a Seminole, a team in which is awaiting the young and great Charlie Woods. Wow. And Miles Russell's committed there. So the Seminoles are going to be winning a national championship here in the next 4 years. But what a week for Jack Whaley. He had to survive a 16-man playoff Wednesday morning just to get into match play. So I like his game. Really has a similar game to Eduardo Molinari, who, remember Ito's big win at the U.S. Amateur? That was 2005 at Marion, at the same golf course. And Eduardo also survived a major playoff to get into match play. You look at this playoff to get into stroke play at the end this week, I mean, it was a battle, and you had star players in there. You had Ryder Cowan had to get through in the playoff. Jack Whaley had to get through in the playoff. Superstar junior player out of Palm Beach, Giuseppe Puebla, was eliminated in the stroke to match play playoff. Now, you had some stallions in this playoff, so for a former NAIA guy to be the one to get through, now, I absolutely love it. Any other stories coming out of the U.S. Amateur? Laughlin, let me go back to this. Carter Laughlin is actually a very experienced caddy, great player, great caddy. Jay Lang, probably the best player amongst these four. Jay Lang won the Western Amateur 2 weeks ago. He was runner-up at the Northeast Amateur, won a Moisset a couple months back, had a top five at the Southern Amateur. He's been rolling as far as these amateur golf tournaments. Jay Lang, he closed his quarterfinal Friday with four consecutive birdies, took down Jack Turner of Orlando, Florida. Let's see. If Jay Lang ends up winning this thing, if Jay Lang ends up winning the U.S. Amateur, he'll become the 10th player to win the Western and the U.S. Amateur in the same year. The last guy to do that was Danny Lee. Now live golf clown, Danny Lee. He was the last player to win the U.S. Amateur and Western in the same year. Now, it is a very impressive the other players to do this. I mean, Danny Lee, he did end up winning a PGA Tour event, but obviously a highly disappointing last 5 years since he went to live. The other players before him to win the Western and the U.S. Amateur in the same year, that's Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Lanny Watkins, Justin Leonard, and Hal Sutton. Now, Jay Lang, in order to do this, will need to beat Logan Riley. Now, think about who Logan Riley has been playing with at Auburn over the last season and a half. Logan Riley clinched the winning point when Auburn won the NCAAs last year. He went undefeated in his entire NCAA match play run, qualified for the U.S. Open this year, Logan Riley did. You know, he was right there with, you know, this match. I mean, obviously I'm rooting for Jack Whaley, but this second match, Jay Lang versus Logan Riley, this one's going to be a movie. Because I told you Jay Lang won the Western, was right there at the Northeast. The guy behind him in both of those tournaments was who he's playing today, Logan Riley. Logan reached the Western Amateur semifinals, finished tied fifth at the Northeast Amateur. I like, man, this second match, I mean, we can't bet on amateur golf, but Jay Lang and Logan Riley, that would be around even money. I don't know who to take there. I don't know who Jack Whaley is going to face in the finals. But we're going to have some phenomenal coverage today. On the other side, we will wrap up our conversation on the FedEx St. Jude Championship and Denmark. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. We'll be back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, congratulations to Keeman, who won the two tickets to the ESPN 97.5 Listener Appreciation Party at St. Arnold's. Can't wait to see you guys there. Friday, August 28th, 6:30 to 9:30. Gonna have a good time. Get to hang out with your favorite hosts, John, Lance, Jeremy, Joe, Dell. What a movie that's gonna be. Let me give you an update here. You know, there's something that's really on my mind as far as the Danish Golf Championship, and I think it's probably gonna be the only ticket I add heading into the weekend here. Rasmus Højgaard at 22-1 right now on Kalshi. To win the Danish, you know, he's had a quiet third round up until about 5 minutes ago where he just holed out for eagle. I'm sorry. Yeah, holed out from eagle on the reachable par 4 16th. And it's the second day in a row he's eagled the hole. Now, so Rasmus is 22-1, five shots back of the lead. And, yeah, the players in front of him are not experienced. Romain Langasque, no. Anton Rosner, no. Caleb Surratt, bit of a scary young American who is having some success on LIV, but largely inexperienced in the big moment, considering LIV doesn't have any big moments. Yanhan Zhu, the Chinese player who is in solo fourth, young guy, 17-year-old, who is playing very well this year but limited experience. Jeff Winther, local, but no. Matthew Jordan, no. Ewan Ferguson is a winner, but even par through 14 today, sort of running out of steam after rounds of 69-65. Yeah, Rasmus Højgaard is the far better player than anyone in front of him on the leaderboard. You know, he has a top five in Detroit two starts ago, and he's a five-time DP World Tour winner. If I were to add anything going into this weekend, it would be Rasmus Højgaard to win. And there's only going to be one round left at the Danish with the time change. It would be Rasmus at 22-1. We do need to get in, and I'm not going to add anything for, and actually a couple things here. Number one on the Danish, I had Lukas Bergsgaard at 110-1 to lead after round one at the Danish. He ties the lead on the 15th hole. And I mean, you know, the only guy in front of him, you know, is a largely unexperienced French player. Lukas Bergsgaard bogeys the par 3 17th to drop one shot out of the lead and then fails to birdie the par 5 18th. So the ticket loses by one. That was frustrating. Now, so Rasmus at 22-1 is going to be the only ticket that I add going into the weekend. I'm not adding anything for Memphis. If Scotty wins, I'll tip my hat, but I'm hoping for a miracle-esque weekend from Hideki Matsuyama. The last thing I want to go over in today's show, you know, there's a lot of noise about Jon Rahm. You know, is he going to leave the LIV Circus after this year? The Telegraph reported this week that, you know, sources inside LIV they're ready for him to leave after this season. And supposedly someone in Rahm's camp has notified the DP World Tour that Rahm could return in 2027. Now, this is where we are right now. LIV Golf just canceled their tour championship for this year. The Saudis are done funding the league. They and I'm telling you, from vendors, from not paying vendors what they are owed, all the way to the top, to the players. This report from the Telegraph says that LIV Golf still owes Jon Rahm a nine-figure piece of the roughly $300 million signing bonus that he signed. They're not going to pay him. It's going to be a rough ending. And you're talking, if LIV's not going to pay the most basic vendors to finish out the year, all the way to the players not getting paid. And I don't think it's the Brysons and the Poulters of the world. I think it's some of the newer signees, the Jon Rahms, the Victor Perez's. You know, they're asking the Saudis, hey, what about the rest of my check? And the Saudis are going, what check? Supposedly, LIV Golf CEO Scott O'Neill says that LIV has reached an agreement with a new lead investor. He will not say who the investor is. He will not say how much money is involved when the agreement closes. But LIV is having to cancel their team championship. So whoever this investor is, either they're not getting started this year or Scott O'Neill is lying, which would not surprise me. Lied a lot in his days with NASCAR in Madison Square Garden. Not the best CEO on the planet. And we'll get into more on the PGA Tour next year and some of the schedule changes. Next week, my apologies. It does not make me feel good that Scott O'Neill is good friends with the new PGA Tour CEO, Brian Rolopp. If they have similar business acumen, I do not feel good about the future of the PGA Tour schedule. That's going to do it for the Golf Hour today. The Bullpen with Brian McDonald is next. BMAC. AJ was on the ones and twos today. Thank you very much. We'll talk next week on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor.